Here at the National Ethanol Conference, I'm speaking with former U.S. Trade Ambassador Ron Kirk, and he spoke to our group here, mainly talking about ethanol going global, the opportunities for biofuels. So first of all, what I'd like to ask you about is looking at the progress that's been made in such a short time by the ethanol industry in increasing exports of not only ethanol but also the co-product of distillers' grains. What do you think about the progress that they have made up to date and the prospects for the future?
Well, one, since you're at their conference, they can speak more to it. I think it's pretty remarkable, but it's also, I think it proves the value proposition of, first of all, American creativity and ingenuity. We come up with a product, we find a way to be creative, come up with new applications, and if you can sell it here in the U.S., consumers are going to want it around the world. And I forget what the growth in the industry is, but in talking to the RFA, I think a third of their market now are exports, and they think that's only going to get bigger because you have China and India and Asia and Africa that have admired our way of life for years, but they need fuel to drive their economy. And to the degree that we can put trade agreements in place that even reduces the tariffs or duties on whether it's biofuels or ethanol even more, that only enhances their competitiveness. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we weren't sitting here, Cindy, 4 years from now and saying, wow, 75% of the ethanol or biofuel sales are now going overseas. So I think that's good not only for this industry, but the point I want to keep driving home to your listeners, that means we're keeping and creating those jobs here at home.
Well, you mentioned, of course, the alphabet soup of TPA, TPP, and TTIP, which is what we're in the middle of right now. You mentioned the fact that Congress is kind of hesitant to grant trade promotion authority to President Obama. Every other president has had this. What do you think at this point of the prospects of getting TPA passed by Congress and moving forward with TPP and TTIP in 2015?
I think, it's always a tough, well, the one thing I've realized, having at least observed fights over trade agreements, it's always a tough sell here, but at the end of the day, we usually get it done. And this will be one, this is one case where Democrats and Republicans usually have found common ground. I'd say Democratic presidents. It's remarkable. If you look at the history of trade promotion authority, it's almost always been passed under Democratic administrations and Republican Congresses or Republican administrations and Democratic Congress. But I think there should be strong support among it in the House, and I hope and I believe we can probably find the 60 votes for it in the Senate. And the reality is, since at least I was there when we started the negotiations on the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the European Agreement, we have been working with our committees of jurisdiction for day one. So, one, there shouldn't be anything in these that surprises us. We just now need to put the formal mechanism in place so that when Ambassador Froman is successful in getting these agreements done, we can get that important vote on them in Congress.
Well, one of the, I'll call it a surprise of what happened with TPP, is Japan coming in and the demands that they have made under TPP, which particularly are concerned to the agriculture industry, pork producers and whatnot. What do you think about that? What has happened? Because that's been since you were on, right? So what do you think about that and what can be done to deal with the fact that they want to exempt a lot of things from a trade agreement?
Well, let me say, first of all, if it hadn't been for some of the great work that the pork producers did, we never would have gotten the Korean agreement done in place. And the one thing we made clear to all of our partners in TPP is if we're going to do this, and if we're going to hold out TPP as a new state-of-the-art agreement, then everything's got to be on the table. And I want to be careful because I don't want to make Ambassador Froman's job more difficult. But having been the trade rep that negotiated Japan's entry, we made it plain, everything's got to be on the table. And if you're going to do this, then that means it's got to be agriculture, and we've got to deal with issues around competition in the manufacturing and automotive sectors. And even though I may not be there, I know those are the same beliefs that Ambassador Froman and Ambassador Cutler are still carrying in those negotiations. So,
Well, by taking things off the table, you're defeating the purpose of a free trade agreement.
Well, we were very careful in negotiating the terms of Japan's entry. And if Japan's approach is going to be one of exclusions and exemptions, then they put themselves at risk of having an agreement closed without them. But as you know, a lot of this is what it is. It's negotiating positions to see what else you can get. And I know the teams are working hard, and I'm confident at the end we're going to get a fair agreement for all of America's exporters, including agriculture. And as you know, our ag exports are at an all-time high, and we have a surplus in agriculture. So it's in our interest to make sure that we get them as favorable agreement as we can.
You mentioned that when you came into office, you made a list of all the disputes that we had. One of those would have been the dispute with Brazil over cotton. Has that been resolved, do you think, at this point, satisfactorily?
We had a case which Brazil prevailed at the WTO. We did put in place a program with the Department of Agriculture to address some of their concerns. Now, I'm ashamed to say I haven't followed as much since I left, but at least we did have a settlement mechanism in response to that. But one of the things we also did, since we're talking agriculture, if you remember, we had been locked out of the European Union on beef sales for years. We got that resolved and were able to get our exports back into those markets, just as we did in Korea, and have been doing the same in Japan. So I'm proud of our team. We have one of the best team of trade negotiators at USTR, and I'm confident we'll be able to get these resolved as well.
Well, we look at things right now. We've got the cool issue with our closest trading partners, Mexico and Canada. We look at what's happened with poultry, avian flu with China now. And China's always, it seems like, banning something from us. Do you feel like it doesn't matter what we do, that we're still going to have issues pop up?
Any two businesses, you know, part of being in business, and one of the things that people admire about America, though, is we have a rule of law and a contractual way that say, look, we can go into business. We know we're going to have a dispute. You agree ahead of time how you're going to resolve it, and you move on. That's just the reality of a complex on a mature trading relationship. But the reality is that America overall wins by putting our farmers, our ranchers, our entrepreneurs and businesses in a position that they can go out and compete for these new consumers, particularly in an environment when many of these countries are giving tariff relief to other countries. And so all we want to do is go in there and get a chance to compete. And then when we have a dispute, we'll go get it resolved.
I think we'll end on that note. Thank you very much. Here at the National Ethanol Conference, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.
Thank you, Cindy. Sir.